You have your Bibles this morning. Find, if you would, please, Deuteronomy chapter 26. Brother Kwame, is that you back there, Brother Kwame? Is Brother Kwame here? Did he make it to our service? Nope. I was hoping Brother Kwame made it. He's a preacher friend of mine. Told me he would be here, and just like the other preacher friends, didn't tell me the truth. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 26 is our text. If you would find Galatians chapter number 2, chapter number 3, and put something there. We'll be there in just a moment. I have had the wonderful privilege the last couple of weeks to preach messages that are preparing our hearts for revival. And I'm begging and asking God to do a wonderful work of revival in the life of Plantation Baptist Church. I hope and pray that you are joining me as part of our church family and asking God to do this work in your heart individually, and also to do the work in our church life corporately. And so I began the year preaching to you in a message from the book of Daniel about purposing in our heart, and how disappointing the year can be as we find ourselves sometimes defiling ourselves. It's not so much that the devil is my big enemy, although he is. I find that sometimes I just flat defile myself. Daniel did not want to defile himself. I have found that to be true in the life of God's people. We want our lives to be pleasing to the Lord. We want our lives to have power for the Lord. We want our lives to know obedience and to know the blessing. And sometimes we just do things we never dreamed we would do and defile ourselves. And Daniel taught us how to be spiritually right and to know protection from that. Last week, I took you to the book of Hosea. I preached a message where one of those great revival principles was given to the nation of Israel, where Hosea told the nation that in order for them to be able to sow in righteousness and reap in mercy, which is a farming kind of process there that the nation would understand, they had to prepare the ground. And there was a great phrase in that chapter where it talks about breaking up your fallow ground. Fallow ground was ground that had once been tilled, but it had grown hardened, and it had grown because it had been unworked. It was no longer ready to receive any type of sowing, any type of seed. And so Hosea likened that spiritually to the nation of Israel. And he said, listen, before the seeds of righteousness can be sown, your heart's got to be pliable. Jesus picked up on that later, and when he gave the parable about those four soils, that's a powerful parable about how the sower went forward to sow the seed. And some of the seed fell on that hard soil, some fell on the stony soil, some fell on the thorny soil. And then finally, the one that took fell on good soil, and then it actually bear forth fruit. We talked about how the Bible talks about the mind a lot of times in the equivalence to ground and the reception when it comes to sowing. And so we were to break up our fallow ground. And we talked about the reality based on against our feelings. Everybody feels spiritual. Everybody feels like they're okay. But when we take an assessment of where we are, and as our mind concentrates, it's the consequence of a concentrated mind that softens the heart. Simple example of that would be if you're ever away from your loved one, as you concentrate on your loved one, you notice that feelings come off of that concentration. You can't just muster up feelings. Sometimes people come and say, Pastor, I just can't help the way I feel. Right. That's not a permission to be sinful, but that shows me that their mind has been concentrated on something, and out of that concentration, feelings have developed. Well, in preparing our hearts for revival, I wanted us to concentrate on the Lord and let our hearts be tender toward what He has done. But I also wanted us to concentrate on our own lives and to look at what we're doing. And really and truthfully, looking at the positive and the negative. And I gave a whole list of things that last week that we were to kind of be concentrating on as we're preparing for revival. And so this Sunday, I want to preach one more message that will prepare us for revival. And I'm going to preach a message on the subject of tithing. And I have entitled the message, Don't Forget the Tithe. Pastor, why would you preach on tithing the Sunday before revival? I think my answer to that would be because as I search the scriptures, I find that wherever there is a work of revival or you have revived people, you find that tithing and giving are associated with that. I want to say at the beginning of this that I have been your pastor a long time. I believe I know my audience. And so I think I have four mindsets out there today, and I've asked God to help me with to be able to have power and authority and to touch every mindset. I have it the first people that will be listening to the message today, and they may be visiting, they are not Christians, they're not part of a Bible teaching church. They have no idea what tithing is. They know money. But if I had to have them define what tithing is, they're not for it and they're not against it. They don't even have any idea of what it is. The more I associate with my preacher friends and in the circles, nobody's preaching on tithing anymore. They're scared to do it. But I got news for you. It's in the Bible and it ought to be preached. So I have that mindset. Then I have a second mindset, and that mindset is this. They know about it. They know what it is, they know it's in the Bible, but they just flat don't do it. Just flat don't do it. Not going to do it. Don't talk to me about it. I don't practice it. I would dare say if you invited me into your finances, I would show you that everybody tithes. You may not tithe to the living God, but I bet I could show you somewhere in your checkbook where you tithe. We don't keep a checkbook anymore, do we? I could show you on your phone where you tithe or where you don't. A third mindset is this. People who know about tithing, they have a heart to tithe. They want to tithe, but they just struggle, man. They get defeated by excuses or emergencies and they have the best intentions. And some weeks they know it and some weeks they don't. And they just struggle. They're tore up when they can't. But they just can't mentally grasp the Lord first in every situation about that. Most of the time, if I could just put a side note in here, those are practical failures that you're doing. There's some simple things that could really help you about that. Then the fourth mindset is people who do, they tithe. They understand what it is. They know it. They know it is in the Bible. They obey it. And they know the blessing of God when it comes. So I kind of have this four mindset in my heart today. I agree with the philosopher who said this. Money is the acid test of one's character. If you want to know the truth about someone or what they value, concentrate on their approach to money. How they get it, how they keep it, and how they spend it. How you get your money, how you keep your money, and how you spend your money is really the acid test of one's character. I will submit to you that I don't believe that you can come and know revival next week and forget God's tithe. As a pastor, I'm preaching this message for your benefit. I'm preaching this message with God's power and God's permission. And I understand it is what it is. Pastor, do you tithe? Absolutely. I do. I'm preaching this because it's in the Bible. And I'm preaching this without apology. I'm going to say some things that, and I've asked God to help me because in my personality, I can be sharp. In my personality, I know that I have a tone about me that I have to be careful about. My wife is constantly reminding me about the tone when I talk to my children. And she'll say, that tone, Tom, is not loving, not loving, not loving. And I need her to do that. Because sometimes I can be sharp. I don't want to be sharp and offend you with my personality, but I don't have any problem preaching God's word to you. I need you to understand that. Now I need you to understand, revived people tithe. Having said that, go to Deuteronomy chapter number 26. In Deuteronomy chapter number 26, you have the Lord speaking to the nation of Israel. And in Deuteronomy chapter number 26, God is outlining for the nation of Israel his expectation about tithing. Now, I want to say a couple of things because there's what we call religious conversation and there's mentalities out there. And one of the ways that God's people have been stripped from the blessing of tithing is that they've been told that it's not something for today, that it's only something that was done in the Old Testament. And I'm in the Old Testament today, but I can prove to you from the New Testament that tithing is not tied to a testament. Tithing is tied to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, when the Lord Jesus was asked about that, he commended tithing. In the book of Hebrews speaks about tithing still being practical for today. So if you're out there and you have this mindset that tithing is not for the church that is under grace today, that is an improper biblical mindset, and I can take the Bible and show you differently. Most of the time, people use that mentality so that they can give less than 10%. They can just give what they want to give accordingly. But this is one of the false truths that has been taught to God's people. And so preachers are telling congregations that it's not relevant for today, and they're gutting their people. They're gutting their people from the blessing of God. And so I'm not here to argue with you about where you feel theologically tithing fits in the Bible. Tithing is tied to the Lord Jesus. I'm going to show you God's expectation for it in your life. And if you look at chapter 26, verse number 1, I'd like to begin there. Here's what the Bible says. This is God speaking through Moses to the nation. And it shall be, when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, you know that to be Canaan, and possess it, Joshua led them in there, and dwellest therein, which means you've gone in, you've conquered, and you're at home, and you're settled in the land, that thou shalt take of the, what's that word, class? First, of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt, say that word, bring. Understand, in this application, when God is telling the nation when you come into the land, he's talking about them coming into the promised land. You know, according to your Bible understanding, that in the Old Testament, the promised land was an actual physical land of Canaan. But for you and I today, the promised land is the spirit-filled life. And so as the nation of Israel had expectation within that physical land, you and I have an expectation from God in our spiritual land, which is the promised land. And here was God's expectation of the tithe. I want it. I want it. It's interesting that he tells the nation, when you get into the land, I want you to bring me the tithe. God is expecting them to bring, not give the tithe. They are to bring the tithe. God wants tithe from his people. Would you turn back to Deuteronomy 14? I want to show you something. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 14. Come on, I need the Bible to protect me today, or you're going to walk out of here and talk bad about me. Verse number one. Ye are the children of who? Of the Lord. Okay? Speaking to the nation of Israel. Now hold your hand in Deuteronomy 14. You got your hand in Galatians chapter 3? Go back to Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 26. For ye are all the children of who? Of God. So look me in my four eyeballs. If you're a child of the living God, would you say amen? Amen. So come, you can leave Galatians now. Come back to Deuteronomy 14. Verses 2 all the way down to verse number 21. He's instructing the children of God in that moment what they are supposed to do. And look, if you would, at verse number 22 of Deuteronomy 14. Thou shalt truly, say it, all the increase of thy seed. The children of God in the Old Testament, reference to the children of God in the New Testament, and the principle is that the children of God tithe. So I'm asking you as your pastor, you're a child of the living God. Do you tithe? God has an expectation about his children that he wants his tithe. Well, pastor, why would God want it? Because Leviticus chapter 27, verse number 30 says very clearly that the tithe is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord, which means it's sanctified and separated to the Lord. It belongs to him. Now, for those of you that don't know anything about tithing, the word tithing is the word tenth. That's what it means. It's a percentage word. And when you go back to Abraham and you go back to Jacob, and you go to Genesis, and you go to Hebrews, Genesis in the Old Testament, Hebrews in the New Testament, and you link these two passages in Genesis 14 and Hebrews 7, Hebrews says Abraham paid tenth to Melchizedek, and Melchizedek is an incarnate Christ, there, pre-incarnate Christ, a picture of that. And so it says, there men that die receive tithes, but here it is witnessed that he liveth. What does that mean? That means the tithe belongs to the Lord, and as long as the Lord liveth, it's his tithe. Now, tithe, pastor, tenth, what are you talking about? Of all of our increase. That means for every dollar that God lets you earn, 10 cents belongs to him as his tithe. Set apart, sanctified unto him, which elevates that part of our money. And God teaches the principle to his people of tithing, which means God says, I expect and I want from you what belongs to me. If you're with me so far, say amen. Let's be really clear here how God kind of makes this clear. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 26. Look, if you would please, at verse number 17. He's talking to the nation about this. And he says to them, in verse number 17, thou hast avouched or declared or proclaimed the Lord this day to be, say those two words. So do you declare the Lord to be your God? If so, say amen. This is what he's saying. He's saying, you call me your God to walk in my ways and to keep my statutes and commandments and judgments and to hearken unto the Lord, unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he promised thee that thou shouldest keep all his commandments. Here's what he's saying to the nation and what he's saying to you. When you get into the land, I want you to bring me my tithe. Now you call me your God, and I'm calling you my people. You have avouched me. You have proclaimed me. And so if you're going to avouch and you're going to proclaim me as your Lord, then Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. God has an expectation. He wants his tithe. It's interesting when you look at Deuteronomy chapter 26, he wants you to bring his tithe to a certain place, and he wants it to come from you from a certain place. For example, here's some instruction. Look, if you would please, at verse number 2 of chapter 26, so you can understand. Thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, unto the Lord thy God that giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the, what's that word? Place, which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. Some things you need to know about God and his expectation. He wants his tenth of all of the increase he's given you. So it's January 31st, actually it was December 31st. I believe that Mary sent out all the giving records. So if you made $100,000, your giving record better have been 10 grand or more. That's all your increase. That's tithe. So I've avouched the Lord to be my God. He's avouched me as his people. And God says, now I want you to bring the tithe. I want it. And I want you to bring it to a certain place. When you search the Bible, Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10, Acts chapter 5 in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, you find that the place that God wanted it to be brought was where his name was. In the Old Testament, that was the temple, and they would bring the tithe to the temple. When there no longer was temple worship, they brought the tithe first to the apostles' feet. Let me just put a little parenthesis in here. I'm not an apostle. I don't get the whole offering. I wish I did. I don't get the offering. But in 1 Corinthians, they brought it to the church. Malachi said, bring it to the storehouse. The storehouse is where they were fed from. Spiritually, that is the church. What does that mean? That means this. God, when it comes to the tithe, he has an expectation. He wants it. He wants the 10%. We call him our God. We are his people. He expects it, and he expects me to bring it to the church. Well, Pastor, you know, I do tithe, but I kind of spread my tithe out. You don't get to choose where it goes. God does. Amen? Well, I send my tithe to the missionaries. It's not yours. That would be like me taking Malcolm's money and giving it to Beverly. Boy, I wish I could do that. But that's not my money. And the responsibility from God's people is we bring it to the storehouse. It's to be brought to the church. Now, in this day and age, it's electronically sent, it's mailed, it's done all kinds of things. But it goes to the church. They tell me, stop taking offerings. Why would I stop taking offerings when God's people are to bring the tithe to the church? Amen? I know. So did you do that today? Did you bring? You can't come to revival next week and not bring God what belongs to him. Can't do that. And not only does God want it brought to the church, he also wants it to come from a certain place within our hearts. Look, if you would please, at verse number 3. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Not only does he teach us where to bring it, but he teaches us what to say. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers to give us. The priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God, and thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to what class? Perish. All right, I won't forsake a time. I won't read you the rest of the scripture, but here's what God says. God says, now, when you bring me my tithe, I want it 10%. I want it to be brought to the church, but I want it to come from a certain place in your heart. And what I want you to do, when you show up to that priest, I want you to tell him, I'm here because God spared my life. I was ready to perish, but God redeemed me. And because of what God has done in my life, here is his tithe. So if God has redeemed your soul from going to hell, would you say amen? That's what God wants you to think about when you bring his tithe. Not, boy, that's a lot of money. Oh, man, I can't do it. You don't just, I don't just put my offering in the basket. When I put my offering in the basket, I'm like, thank you, God, for saving me. God, this is here because you redeemed me. God, I was a Syrian ready to perish. I was a sinner ready to go to hell. But you love me and you redeem me and you save me. And this belongs to you. And out of that, I'm thankful. And I bring his tithe. I wonder what God thinks about the person that just flat doesn't do that. The person that just flat doesn't do that, but God redeemed you. Sometimes silence can say more than I can. Watch the other expectation. I have two more. His first expectation is God wants it. The second expectation is he wants it linked to worship. Look at verse number 10. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the, say those three words, not the church, not the pastor. What do I mean by that? Yes, you bring it to the church, but you're not giving that money to the church per se. You're setting it before the Lord thy God. And what's that word? Worship before the Lord thy God. I have brought, and now I'm ready to worship. So God told the nation, don't show up to worship without bringing me my tithe. Are you kidding me? How many of God's people show up to worship, but we don't bring God his tithe? Now remember my four mindsets. Some people don't even know what I'm talking about, and they're thinking, boy, that guy's crazy. Some people are getting a little upset because you just don't flat do it. Some people are thinking, I know, Pastor, and I'm here today, and I didn't do it, and I spent it. I spent the Lord's money on this. I had to pay that electric bill. I had to pay this. I had to do that. I had all these emergencies. Somebody told me one time, I just can't afford to tithe. I got news for you. You can't afford not to tithe. I want to say something that you won't understand, but it's a biblical principle. The more need you have, the more necessary it is to tithe. The more need you have, the more necessary it is to tithe. Pastor, that's easy for you to say. You don't have difficulty. Let me tell you something. When Bev and I first got married, I think I brought home every week $230. She may have brought home $100. I guarantee you our weekly income was probably $350 together. And there were times, man, we would just grab the money to go to Taco Bell. When Taco Bell is eating out, you're needy. You're needy after you eat it too. But we would tithe. And the more we would need, the more we would tithe. There have been times in my life when I've had bills that I needed God to pay that I would tithe before he ever gave me the money. And I would say, God, I got these bills. This is tithe on money that I need you to send to me. I can tell you story after story after story about how God kept his word. Why are you telling me this, Pastor? I'm telling you this because the mindset there is I'm struggling with this. And I did, man, if you'll just trust the Lord. And then there's other people in the room like me where we've had this experience where we've trusted him and we've found him to be faithful. Okay? It's linked to worship. Don't forget it when you come to worship. Well, Pastor, I didn't get paid this week. No problem. No problem. Pastor, I get paid every other week. I get paid once a month. Pastor, I make commission. I don't even know when I'm going to get paid. La-di-da, la-di-da. Okay, fine. Let me just teach you the biblical principle there. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the first Sunday after you are increased, you're to bring the Lord his tithe. So if you get paid once a month, and you don't get paid every other week or every week, so you may not bring a tithe every week. But after you have been increased, the next Sunday, you ought to be bringing the Lord his tithe. That's how that works. The last expectation of the Lord, tied to worship. When you go and look at verse number 11, or I'm sorry, not verse, yeah, verse number 12, is the expectation that God wants to bless you in this. God wants to bless you. Expectation number one, God wants his tithe. Expectation number two, God wants it in accordance with worship. Expectation number three from God is, God wants to bless you in this. Look, listen to how verses 12, 13, and 14 read. They're powerful. When thou hast made an end of tithing, all the tithes of thine increase... The third year, this is unique to Israel, but the principle is the same, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled. Then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed or the holy things out of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite, unto the stranger, to the fatherless, to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded. Now watch this. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I, say it, class, forgotten them. Hence, don't forget the tithe. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. What is he saying there? Listen to me, those of you that struggle. He's saying, when you come before me and you bring that tithe, he's wanting them to say to me, I sure could have used this in a lot of other areas in my life, God. God, they're going to do this to me. I've got this need. I'm going to lose this. I've had this opportunity we could have done here. God, I sure could have used this money in other areas. But I was obedient. And I brought it to you. Look at the next verse. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and what, class? Bless thy people. Hold your hand here and go to the very last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Come on, you're almost done. You've done a great job. Malachi, the very last book of the Old Testament, chapter 3. Verse number 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove who, class? Me. Who's the me there? Don't say you. The me is who? God. Now with here saith the Lord, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. This is what God is saying to his people. I want my tithe. It belongs to me. It reckons me as the Lord. I wanted you to bring it to a certain place physically, and I want it to come from a certain place spiritually in your heart. I want you to reckon what I have done for you. Saved people reckon their salvation in obedience to tithing. I want it to come before your worship and with your worship. Don't come worship me and steal from me. Yeah, Pastor, I don't ever mean to steal from God. I understand. But God says, bring it. Bring it. And then his third expectation is, I'll bless you for doing it. Amen. He said, prove me and see if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. The preachers that don't have the guts to preach on tithing are preachers that are hurting their congregations, because God blesses tithing people. It brings a miraculous to my life. And he says, try me, test me, prove me. I made a horrible mistake one time standing right here. A guy named Tom came in. He's well named, by the way. He came into me. And he said, Pastor, you preached on tithing, and God rent my heart. And he said, I want you to know I brought my tithe today. I'm so excited. And I grabbed the guy and I said, God is going to richly bless you. I didn't see him for 3 weeks. He came back later and he said, I'm mad at you. I said, why are you mad at me? He says, because you told me God was going to richly bless me. Right. He said, when I left here that day, my car broke down. I had all kinds of physical problems, and I had needs coming from everywhere, and I had to stop tithing. You promised me that God would bless me. I never forget standing right there what he said to me. And it corrected me as a pastor. And it helps me to help you to say this. Satan hates it when God's people tithe. And the moment you that are struggling, the moment you start tithing, something's breaking, baby. It's going to happen. You might as well figure, the first one's going to cost me a little bit. But I think that's God testing me where I am. Because God's word is forever. And most people fall down at that first little problem. I tithe, but my car broke down, or this happened, and this. I just can't afford to do. No. If you'll give God an opportunity, I promise you, he'll keep his word in your life. Oh, I got so much more to preach, but I'll stop. God's expectation. He wants it. He wants it as worship. And he wants to bless you. So I just have a question for you. Do you tithe? Well, Pastor, you know if I tithe or not. No, I don't. I don't go look at it. I'm asking you, did you bring it? I'm telling you, you can't have revival and forget to tithe. Amen?